Welcome to Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Join me on a journey back home to your truest self in this inspiring, enlightening, and entertaining show. After a near-death experience in a car crash at 15 years old, I made a choice to stay and brought back with me three simple truths that I found from the other side. Love is all there is. Our time is over here quicker than we think. And we all have a purpose, a soul blueprint to fulfill. On this show, you will find a higher purpose, a creative expression, and unique soul attributes that you can bring forth into this world. Stay tuned with me for the next hour and find your higher purpose on Wild Magic, starting now. Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Adrienne Cobb, and you're listening to Wild Magic with Adrienne on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, where this week we will be interviewing my special guest, Dr. Pat Basile, on Live, Unplugged, and Divine Gravity. So sit back and take a breath and get ready to be inspired by Dr. Pat, sharing her true life stories of pursuing her soul blueprint and where she defied gravity to create the Transformation Network. For anyone who's curious about what a soul blueprint is, it's a living, breathing energy that's stored in our DNA, and it's governed by your soul energy, and it relates a lot to the heart. That's why people say, you know, follow your heart, because it connects to the soul. And when you're connected to the soul energy, it knows that blueprint. It knows really what your life path was about. So it's like a hologram of light that holds within it the higher vision of your life path, including relationships with people that are meaningful, opportunities, life lessons that are geared toward your highest fulfillment. When you're kind of entering into the energy of the zone of your soul blueprint, everything just seems like it falls into place and you feel on point of service and living life on your own terms. So welcome, Dr. Pat. I'm so glad that you're here with us today.
I'm so excited about being here. First off, let me just say right out of the gate to everybody listening, it is an honor to be here, but it's also out of your generosity. It has been an honor to work with you and discover what the soul blueprint really is and the mysteries that get clarified when one actually gets to take that journey with you, Adrienne. And, you know, I know this is going to be a great show, because whenever you're seeing truth and speaking truth, and then the realization of items and things in your life, it's always a progressive conversation, because it requires each and every one of us to be open to the conversation. But at the same time, when you get back to look at your life, you just have a different understanding. That's what I'm excited about talking about, mostly about you and your work.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. I'm all about talking about your work. So we're going to have a good old show then. So I think of defying gravity as that pivotal moment when we have faith in ourselves, a higher power, or something bigger than our own fears, where we just kind of leap. So I'm wondering, you know, what that moment was for you when you really leaped off into the abyss of the wild divine for yourself and decided to go for your vision of Transformation Network. So that abyss moment, sort of.
And, you know, here's the way I want to talk about it. I realized from a very young age, I was divinely guided. I didn't know that language. You know, this, you and I were talking about language that was really foreign to me, but mm-hmm. I knew that there was a guidance system in place for me. That there are parts of my life that if I talked about my childhood and talked about some of the things that happened in my childhood, I now know that things were so beautifully orchestrated when I was awake enough to see them, so that that blueprint, or at least a glimpse of it, a glimpse of what's possible showed up. But Transformation Talk Radio emerged from the origin of a painful place I was at, a very unexpected painful place. You know, Adrienne, I've had a lot of painful places in my life, everything from my mom's suicide when I was six, to being beaten almost every night in Catholic boarding school, to being homeless and then arrested for something I didn't really do or I didn't really intend to do. It was a fluke. But when you're guided, there's a way that you find that the pathway becomes crystal clear and you trust in it. It was the same with this. I graduated from school. I went back to school after losing my job. By the way, I've been fired from every job I've actually ever had. So I just want to put that out there.
True rebel bringing forth her soul blueprint. That's true. I can't keep a job more than a few months if I had to. If I didn't work for myself, I don't know what I would do.
It's really interesting, too, to really look at that. But, you know, every job I've had has served me. One of them I had for 25 years. And it led me to go back to school. It led me to move out to the West Coast. None of that would have happened. So sometimes I realize that I've been nudged to go on a particular pathway, even if I don't want to or don't know about it. But the network itself and the journey was so divinely guided.
Well, that's like the wording that somebody who's really stepping into their soul blueprint, whether they're on the journey to it or on it, they do feel like they are being divinely guided, which is like an inner listening. But we do have tribes of light and angels that are working with us. And even as you're talking, you got all these angels showing up. Like you just have a whole room of angels that kind of back you up, and they do kind of guide us and kind of push us in the right direction. And you've got that going on for sure.
This is fascinating. I dial a wrong phone number in 2003. I'm from New York. I don't stay on wrong phone numbers. I mean, you dial a wrong phone number, you get on, you get off, you redial, but I transpose numbers. But this day I didn't. And I found myself in an interesting place where I found myself talking to an internet network in 2003. And within 10 minutes, the show wasn't even this, it was crust busting Your Way to an Awesome Life. But within 10 minutes, I had pulled out a credit card and I had paid for about $10,000 for 13 weeks on internet radio in 2003. Now, you're in a relationship, you've just gotten a PhD, everybody around you is expecting you to go get the big fat paycheck, but you don't. You don't go. You do something that shows up in life. And that is defying gravity at so many levels. Mm-hmm. But it feels so right. See, when you ask me about that incident, and then later on, the network got formed in almost the same way. When something feels that right, you know, if you're me, you don't really start to doubt yourself until everybody around doubts you, until you're faced with the reality of a partnership where somebody says to you, listen, I didn't sign up for you to be giving money out. You know, you're supposed to be making money.
Yeah.
But you don't listen at that level, right? So what's that called?
Mm-hmm. Defying gravity for sure. Yeah. Yeah, definitely going against the norm. And I find that, you know, when we do sort of set out on our soul blueprint, we do kind of have to push against the people who most want to keep us safe, or the people who want to stay in their safety and want us to stay with them. A lot of times it does require, you know, kind of stepping out a little bit on that level for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about, you know, the many times I've been in situations and the many guardian angels I've had, and I've had them really every time I turn around in my life. Right now, you've met my best friend, Linda, and meeting Linda in 1972 and then her family. I mean, my life would have been very different without their support, you know, without being able to lean on, you know, to someone that could help me with the things in life that I just wasn't here to figure out. I mean, I think about myself as somebody in my teens and early 20s who couldn't set a dining room table. Like that just wasn't important to me. And even today, I still have to ask myself what that's about. But the network showed up the same way. I mean, you know, I don't worry so much about how I set the table for myself. I worry now about how am I setting the table to receive what the universe wants to bring forth so that we can create a better world. Mm-hmm. Look, I was trying to help this guy set up his own network in 2008 and 9. And he was getting ready to sign on in Rhode Island and buy a ton of airtime from WBLQ. And comes time for show day, the station owner calls me, Chris. Hi, Chris. And he says, hey, you got to start a network. And I said, well, no, Greg is starting. No, we can't find Greg. Find Greg. He just wrote a $2,200 check that bounced. And I've got to pay a mortgage. And so you mentored him. You need to start a network. I will give you blocks of time on WBLQ, AM, FM out of Rhode Island if you can fill them. Now, I put a job post out, Adrian, mm-hmm. on this place called Freelancer. And I was kind of doing this by myself back then. And I put the job, myself and Heather, in a back room of my house. And I put a job post out. And I put the most ridiculous job post to hire somebody. And it read like, I have to start a network. I have an idea of how to do the programming. I want to create something that nobody else's program. So I need a program to come in, do the programming. I have to do live programming. So you have to really create a stream. You have to set up the database. So down the road, we're going to be able to do video. And by the way, everything has to be done remotely. You have to have skills in programming and database development. And by the way, you really have to know how to know about music and signal flow and all the stuff I don't know.
Yeah, basically a living miracle, a walking living miracle. Yeah.
Oliver from Germany. One line response. I can do all that.
Wow.
Oliver from Germany. And I spent nights and weekends and I told him what I wanted. And I said, can you build it? Sure. I'm German. We can build anything.
Yeah, I kind of believe that, actually. Yeah. German's got it going on. Yeah.
He never said no. I mean, talk about angels. Mm-hmm. You know, if you'd have brought that to a programming company and said to them, this is the person you want, most of the people around you would kind of look at you. But I don't live in that world. And I don't think you do either. I really do believe that everything is possible, but I may not be able to do it all. I may need some people to help me do it, right?
Well, and you said yes to a golden moment. I think that's kind of the key. Like sometimes people think of the soul blueprint as this thing I will eventually be good enough for down the road. But really the soul blueprint, it's like a hologram of energy where you're accessing golden moments all along the way. And when you made that wrong phone call, you had a golden moment and you just happened to stay on the phone long enough to say yes to it, which turned into something else. And then Oliver, so he said yes to a golden moment. And that's how it works. That's how the soul blueprint works. It's not some big thing we accomplish at the end of our life. It's the golden moments along the way where we're able to show up and say yes. It's just a yes.
It's a yes. And you know what? We ended up in the back of my room and then in a small, I mean, honestly, you ever hear about these garage stories? And all I could do was I asked for interns to come in because I didn't have the funding to hire people. You know, Oliver did this at such a ridiculously low rate now that I look back. And, you know, every part of that, we stream shows. So how long do you think it took for Oliver to create a technology, hook it up with SAM broadcasting, multimedia things, have everything going for me to get the right interns to come in? One of them was Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean,
yeah. And Jessica reached out to me. She created a golden moment with me. Yeah.
And from that point on, Jessica learned, she listened, she practiced on her own, and she now has become the genius beyond our new technology. Mm-hmm. How does that happen? I am not different than the people listening. See, there may be something different in me, but the possibilities and what to look for. It's exciting. You know, you asked me about my day. I got up at 5 this morning, had my first call at 6, talking to people, getting ready to be on your show. And I don't know, how did it get any better than this? But I do have a few bumps and bruises.
Yeah, you know, we got the highs, we got the lows. And at the end of the highs and the lows, you have this unconditional honesty that starts to come out along the way, you know, with that for sure. And, you know, when it comes to some of the low points, you were sort of describing some of those earlier on in your life, you know, which I think these are, sometimes I think when we start out our life, we start out with sort of a kind of a karmic aspect toward the soul blueprint. Like the soul blueprint does have a karmic element bent in, you know, built into it. It's not that we've karma, meaning that we've done something wrong. It's karma, meaning that there's actions, reactions, and we're learning something. And once you transform your karma into your dharma and you don't resist it, and you gain your soul's wisdom, that's really when life starts to take off. And I think a lot of people are almost kind of afraid of their pain body. They're afraid of their pain, their emotions, their feelings. And that's one thing in talking to you that I've kind of admired is that you're very in touch with your emotions, your emotional intelligence, your feelings. And I think that oftentimes makes it a lot easier when we're wanting to access our soul blueprint. It's the feeling of how spirit kind of communicates. That feels good, that doesn't. And following the feeling is probably one of the best things we could do. And it seems like you have this innate sort of inner listening to your feelings that has sparked your soul blueprint in a pretty genius way.
You know, I'm really mindful of a couple of things, especially after speaking with you and really understanding my soul blueprint. I want to thank you for doing that work with me. I mean, you made something so crystal clear, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk about them. That explains my early childhood. That explains my relationship or lack thereof, you know, with my parents. I mean, you know, there was so much that you clarified for me in a way that was so clear that helped me understand that there's nothing really wrong with me. You know, me trying to grow up and fit a family mold that I didn't fit in really had less to do about me and my family and more about my soul blueprint. And I think that's the power of what we're talking about. When we get to understand a bit more about ourselves, we get to be at a choice point that's so magnificently orchestrated when we're able to tap into it. Like when Chris DiPaolo said, "You got to pay my mortgage." I said, "Okay." And do you know that Oliver, everything got built and I had 20 hosts, everything got built and we were live in 3 months. And when I tell that story to other producers, they basically say that cannot be a true story. Mm-hmm. This is what they say to me. They say, and I say, well, it is. I mean, Oliver built the technology. I reached out to people. Within 3 months, they had live shows out of Rhode Island, beautifully done. But if you're coming out of Rhode Island in between commercials, you're going to get a lot of car commercials. But other than that, wouldn't it be great if every day of our lives could work like that and we understood it?
Yeah. So we're going to take a little break here. We'll be back in just a moment with Wild Magic with Adrian, and we'll be back in a moment.
The wise tell us that beauty is everywhere, if only we know how to look. Here's a simple way to see beauty everywhere. Think of three beautiful things, like the laughter of a child, a sunset over the ocean, the sound of a waterfall, the taste of a perfect meal. It can be anything. Just remember three beautiful things. Then ask yourself, what do these things have in common? What do they share which we call beauty? The next step is to let go of the specifics, the laughter, the sunset, the meal, and just contemplate beauty itself. This is a heart thing. Leave the mind and go to the heart and find universal beauty. Join me, Sarah Main, on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul. where we discover beautiful things together. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let the journey begin.
Guess what? You don't need to wait until the new year to set new goals for yourself. Hi, I'm Joan Marlowe, the host of Awareness to Action, and I'm taking this concept to a whole new level. I've developed a program to take your awareness to action in 90 days. Let me introduce you to your day one. Day one can start any day you choose, so why not now? We will use powerful brainstorming, mastermind, visioning, and goal setting techniques to open your awareness of what you really want in your life and take action with intention to get there. Choose to work with me one-on-one or in a small group. Let's connect, lift each other up, and hold each other accountable. I'm offering a free consult to design your program. Visit my site, peacefullyhealing.com, to connect with me, and let's find out when your day one will begin.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We're back on Wild Magic with Adrian. My guest today is Dr. Pat Basile, founder of the Transformation Talk Radio, who is talking with us about her life journey, having a near-death experience. If you want to reach me directly, you can go to mywildmagic.com. Again, that is mywildmagic.com. But I also want to make sure that everyone knows how to contact Dr. Pat. Can you give us your contact information?
Thank you so much. I realized during the first segment, I took my glasses off and I never do that. And we could talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. But I did notice that. Yeah.
Just notice it because, when I do a show, I'm reading stuff and I didn't have to. For me, the best way to go is to go to what we're talking about. Go to Transformation Talk Radio. What I want to say to everybody is the TransformationNetwork.com is going to be the place for everything here in about a month. And that's a story on its own. But our vision and mission, Adrian, none of this has changed since that wrong phone number. And then it didn't change with the network. You know, I've been asked to go in a different direction. I've been asked, really, positive talk, really? I mean, there's so many opportunities to be tempted to get off your path.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, endless, I would say. It could be, the fear of survival issues, I find, is a super big one as to why a lot of times people won't engage in following their heart, igniting their soul blueprint, doing what they really love. Has a lot to do, I find, with survival issues that they that are imprinted on them in childhood. Maybe it's a lineage pattern, something's imprinted upon them. They see their parents get stressed about money, not make good decisions, get caught in a cycle of life that is not about something that's fulfilling for them, that's a big deal as to why people sometimes won't say yes. And the difference between somebody who's going to live a life more fulfilled and a life of somebody who's just, kind of grinding the wheel just to get by every day has a lot to do with raising the vibration above that, like choosing really more from their heart. And it sounds like you definitely had issues in your childhood that were imprinted upon you. I mean, if there was one issue that you felt imprinted upon you the most as a belief system in your childhood, what overriding kind of belief was there that you basically have had to rewrite in your own life?
I think if there was one that I had to rewrite, there were a couple. First of all, let me say I'm blessed that I've had two mothers. a birth mom that committed suicide when I was six, and a stepmom. And I learned different things from each of them. And I want to say how blessed I am for that. But if there is one thing that I did need to learn differently to rewrite is, and you explained this to me beautifully, I thought there was something weird about me growing up. I mean, there really was something weird about me. So let's just be clear about that. There's just no question about that. There totally is, but not in that way. You know, I've not had to go through life like a lot of other people that have parents that grow old. You grow old with them. You have this lifelong experience you have with your parents. They're important to you. You think about holidays with them. I didn't have that. I didn't come from that. And by the way, just about every female mentor I've ever had and relative have died suddenly, like really suddenly. But I've had to learn not to lose my spirit. You know, not to come from a place of what other people thought. You know, not to come from a place of you can't do it. I mean, that's one of the things that I've learned. And any time that I have gotten to that place, something in life happens. Sometimes it's not so good. And sometimes it's amazing, right? Like meeting Linda and her parents and having them become, you know, guidestones for me. But when I really started to doubt myself, really odd things happen. And I think I've shared a couple of them with you. You know, I remember sitting at my computer one day and just looking at my life and just wondering, really, I'm sitting here, I'm just knocking myself out with this education and postdoctoral and the conflicting messages on stepping out into the world and talking about positive things. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I know, I'm in an altered state long enough to dial 911 and I end up in an emergency vehicle. And I got a bunch of people with oxygen and I'm going to the hospital. And then it engaged in a number of tests for the next 4 months. Diagnosed with just about everything you can imagine, including one doctor saying to me, you know, we think you got stuff on your brain. We think you're on the spectrum. And to be honest with you, this is what I said to him. I had no idea what any of these people were talking about. None of what they were saying did I buy into? They weren't going to tell me what I was sick or not sick about. And when he said that to me, it didn't make sense back then, like it does now to people. And I literally asked him, great, I love colors. What color am I? Purple. And he said, and he looked at me and he said, yeah, you're definitely on the spectrum. But the things in my life, I've had to learn a lot of different things. One of the things that I had to really get comfortable with was being independent. You know, was realizing that I was just going to be who I was. I was going to say things that other people didn't like. Got kicked out of Catholic boarding school for that.
Only the best get kicked out of that.
Only the best get kicked out.
Right.
But boy, it's been a tough road for me to hold to my truth, my real truth, mm-hmm. not the truth that you learn and you think is your truth.
When I wonder sometimes, you know, I do think that not only can the childhood issues sometimes, you know, be a strength or weakness if we don't, you know, if we transform them, they become one of our greatest strengths. But also, you know, when you are on the spectrum or maybe you have some other disadvantage or handicap, you know, that you have, it is oftentimes when you're born into this world, there's a reason for it. It's literally part of our soul blueprint. The things that make us most odd, most unusual, most unique, and maybe most non-conforming to society rules is the very thing that our soul blueprint like thrives on. It's like it thrives in the marshlands of what doesn't really seem appealing to other people, you know. And with Asperger's, it sounds like, you know, you really have kind of found your innate brilliance and your own geniusness. I know in talking with you and working with you a little bit in starting this program, I was just so impressed at how when you would listen to some of the things I would write or send to you, you're like, I don't even hear that word. That word doesn't even show up. I used to say my wild magic, right? You're like, the word my isn't even in it. Wild magic totally is just so expanded without the word my. So yeah, now of course I've already bought it on GoDaddy, so it will be a part of my website, but I did understand something. But your energy, like the tagline we came up with for my book that's coming out, all of that I've been working on for years, but you're, you know, the way your brain thinks, thank God for those little spots on your brain, just sort of delineated right to the point of it. Pretty brilliant.
And thank you for that. I mean, there are a lot of hardships you go through when you're somebody like me. You almost don't graduate high school because you can't read and write in the way that you're supposed to read and write, but you can process things. You know, you could see process diagrams. That's why I was able to work so well with Oliver, because I was able to literally draw out a schematic and say, this is what I want, not understanding what that meant in terms of him building it, right? Yeah. It's why I did so well in the corporate world, you know. The good news is I started in the mailroom. The really good news is I didn't get fired from the mailroom, but almost did.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody like me, I'm like very young in Bell Labs, fascinated by the scientists. I ate bagels with Arno Penzias. I mean, but in the process, I more enjoyed speaking with those folks than delivering mail. Hence, almost got fired after 4 months with the phone company, a company my mom said you never get fired from. But I did shape up. I did. I looked at this and I said, you know, I don't want to be homeless again. I don't want to go back to the streets. I don't want that pathway. And boy, down the pathway of drugs and alcohol and street living. I mean, that was in front of me. And I shaped up at least to get out of the mailroom. And I ended up with a 25-year career. And I worked my way up. But I could do it because of what you just said. See, I could see dots that got connected where other people couldn't. I couldn't always explain them well, right? Mm-hmm. And thank goodness when you get to graduate school, you can draw a lot of diagrams and you'll get a lot of help in writing and explaining them. But that's why I love Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network.
Because it's great. Yeah, and there is hardships along the way. A lot of times people who have those hardships, like I know Eckhart Tolle, you know, he also ended up homeless and the God guy, you know, and, you know, sometimes those moments that seem like, you know, it reminds me of the story of the Goo Goo Dolls, the band, and, you know, they had been a band for a while, garage band, and doing their thing. And they just, you know, were literally kind of almost homeless too. They just weren't making money doing what they were doing. And he was ready to give up. It's like, it's that 30-second mark where people want to quit or give up right before they have their breakthrough. Right. Yeah. And in that energy, I think he got called to do a song for, what's that movie with Nicolas Cage and Meg Ryan about the angels? Anyway, he gets called in to do.
That show. Right. Yes.
I think it might have been that one. Anyway, he gets called in to do a song for a movie and he writes it in like 30 minutes. Like he just like totally writes it. And it like, sort of like with you and Oliver, it's like this 3-month thing, right? He writes the song and they accept it and it created an entire new career for them. But people oftentimes they, I don't know why the nervous system does this, but it just takes a nosedive. I think right when you're getting ready to unplug from your security system is when whatever your safety factors are, your security system, your life will kind of nosedive down. That's your 30-second mark. And, you know, that's when usually a lot of things, if you just stay true to yourself, you know, it will turn around. I am kind of curious. So with the Asperger's, you know, it sounds like you didn't really let anything define you, whether it was health issues or whatever was being said. But how do you see Asperger's today?
Well, I see it the same way. I didn't know what he was talking about. I asked him, I don't know, like, what does it mean? Remember, I went through 4 months of testing. They had me diagnosed with everything from AIDS to MS to, you know, I mean, this happened to be picked up in a fluke way because they brought somebody in because they saw these spots on my brain. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what they look. To be honest with you, they're not my guidance system. So I went through the process because I had a lot of people around me that were worried. I wasn't worried. I wouldn't have never done it. I would have never gone through all the tests. I wouldn't have even looked at this, right? But I had these people around me like, find out what's wrong, find out what's wrong. And at some point, he was my last conversation. That and the sleep apnea guy. But he was the last one. And I said, okay, so what? He says, well, how are you functioning in the world? I said, what do you mean? Like, I'm got a PhD. I just graduated. I'm doing postdoctoral work. You want to see my diagram? And you could see the rant that I went on. I want to see my diagram. And then I went to describe the diagram. I said, let me tell you what I'm studying. There are these two models and this looks like this. And here's what I'm studying. Nobody's ever studied. And this is the way I'm talking to him. And I go through this and he's looking at me and he's got this little grin. And I think his name was Dr. Racist or something like that. And he's looking at me and he literally listened to me for 20 minutes to finger draw my model in the air.
Whoa.
Finger draw it. You know how you finger draw? Mm-hmm. And as if, you know, you're doing a virtual thing and I'm saying, you see this over here? This is a broken promises. It does this and this. How many times do your patients feel you break promises with them?
Okay.
And that's it.
Right here. We're going to hold that thought. We're going to go to a break for a second, but you're onto something with that. We want to come right back in on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carrie Nail from Nailed It Radio. Understanding our personality preferences can be huge in conquering miscommunication with others. For example, the Myers-Briggs judging type prefers structure, organization, planning ahead, and making decisions quickly and moving on. However, perceiving types prefer to be boundaryless, spontaneous, and wait until the last minute. A great strategy for those who prefer judging is to give perceiving types options, time to make a decision, and be open to other options they may come up with. Also, asking for information ahead of your own deadline creates less stress for both types. Perceiving types can create a system to keep track of scheduled plans so they can be on time, and they can avoid sharing too many open-ended options by focusing on what is most important. I specialize in helping people understand these differences so you can take them into every aspect of your life to thrive. For more information, you can visit my website, carrienail.com. That's K-E-R-I-N-A-I-L.com.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Trish Laub from A Cup of Comfort, where we talk about care hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Here's your Care Hero tip of the day. During all Care Hero journeys, the need to keep track of a lot of information arises, some of it critical. Possibly the greatest challenge Care Heroes face is the gathering and organizing of information. Just as every trade has a power tool, whether an electric drill or a laptop, my family's Care Hero power tool was the three-ring binder. We generated a mini library of labeled three-ring binders, one for each category of information, complemented with additional spiral notebooks used to detail medical appointments and episodes. This unfussy and convenient system of binders helped my family stay organized and able to deliver the dignified care and end of life my parents desired. Tune into my show to learn more. See you on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 12 Pacific here on Transformation Talk Radio. Feel free to reach out to me at info@trishlaub.com.
All right, we are back on Wild Magic with Adrienne, and we're talking to Dr. Pat and the soul wisdom that she's gained along her life journey that she'd like to share with us. One of the profound things I learned from Jim Quick, who teaches the Super Brain course, is that one of the fastest ways to evolve our brain is to go to an expert, you know, who has years of mastery, mistakes, and wisdom, and let them tell you in a moment's time what took them years to learn. And that's really what I would call maximum efficiency, minimum effort in doing that. When I was interviewing Dr. Pat before the show, she taught me two things. One was have a little faith. You know, that's one of her, I'd say, soul messages that she brings forth. And the other is to stay the course, which we can see by her life story that she most definitely has stayed the course in the face of many different things. And during the break, Dr. Pat, you were saying about how when the doctors had you up to electrodes and all of that, but eventually when you just sort of presented, hey, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing. And the doctor was like, you don't need to see any more doctors. Just kind of recap that story. I think that was super important, especially with how many health issues or fears that people have right now, given the climate, everything. Yeah.
He was an angel to me, though. Can we put it in terms? Because you mentioned angels. He was an angel because at the end of about 4 to 6 months, we got to a point where he was going to be the last call. And these things on my brain, you know, 6 months later, they did my brain again. They were gone. I don't know. But a couple things happened. I was not the same after that incident. And this doctor was really interesting. And after I spent a good 20 minutes with him with the finger diagrams explaining what I was doing, I said, look, are we done? I mean, what is there something wrong with me? Is like, what are we doing here, basically? And he just looked at me and he said, no, there's nothing wrong with you. Don't make any more doctor's appointments. And he said, you know, you may have left us for a little while. And I said, okay. And I didn't even know what he meant by that till a bunch of years later. And off I went. And I presented my papers. I won 2 awards for them. I could explain them in theoretical ways. And I went on with my life. But something interesting that you said in our sessions, which was really helpful to me, I knew on that wrong phone call that it wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
I knew that. I said to Linda at 22 years old, I'm going to get a PhD. And then I looked at her and I said, what exactly is a PhD? You know, she never flinched. She looked at me and said, yes, of course you will. Now, where does that even come from? Where did the idea come from? And so when you were talking to me, there are a lot of blanks that got filled in. But the message today for people, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Yeah, we have differences of opinion in the world. And you go into a lot of doctors, or you maybe you're getting a diagnosis like I got in 2004 when I got a real mystery disease. But I never really looked at it like that. And so I just wonder what happens with that. First of all, the angel lady pointed me to Dr. Darvish. And over time, what we realized was I started to doubt myself. I was going to walk away from this in 2004. Because it wasn't pleasing the people around me. It didn't make sense to them. Why would I do 14 hours of airtime when I could be making $250,000 minimum a year? Mm-hmm. I couldn't explain it. But I think when we're in that moment you talk about, we get to choose how we're going to hold it. And, you know, the message for me today is, I do believe we can achieve anything we conceive, but you've got to have that trust and that faith deep in your heart. And when we allow others to come in and tamper with that. We have to have some tools to make sure we restore it, because if we don't, it's a part of what we think is truth, and it really isn't. And that's what I believe that disease was about. I think the universe said, oh, you're thinking about quitting this? No way. No, we're going to make it so you can't really do another job but this.
Well, and it sounds as though you had a little bit of a, when the doctors kind of left us for a while, it sounds like you had a, you know, your own kind of way of having a near-death experience as well. People have different types of kind of near-death experiences, or like kind of almost, I'd say, like a reset, you know. And we can have resets, can sometimes be a heart attack. Sometimes it can be just checking out. Sometimes it can be a failed relationship of some sort where something just falls apart, as a loss of a loved one, you know, that's close to you, a loss of a job, a home. But sometimes we have these resets that come in that reset our life path. And it sounds like that was a good reset where maybe you seem like your energy field runs with a lot of electrical energy. And it feels like sometimes when you, our electrical energy field would just get kind of overwhelmed and just kind of shut us down a little bit there. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, the human body has an incredible way of healing. So it might've even been partly when you had your awareness brought to the spots, you may have also in your higher consciousness, higher life force energy, or even beings of light, tribes of light that you work with, kind of started to fill those spots in a little bit too. You know what I mean? A lot of healing can be done when our awareness. So sometimes when a problem's brought to our attention, it's not so that we'll quit. Sometimes it's so that we will rise to the occasion and find a third option, a magical third option that maybe wouldn't have guessed in the duality of this or that. We have a third option. And it sounds like when you answered that phone call, you found your third option.
Yeah.
Your magical third option. Yeah.
I love the way you're describing it as the magical third option, because there really is no other way to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, and what you do, and especially the when you and I got together, there was a very keen new understanding about my life. You know, and I think when we're able to sit down and look at the soul blueprint and really look at the DNA strands that get us to where we are today, sometimes we go through life and there's a mystery of not understanding things. Mm-hmm. And if you take them to heart, they can alter how you feel about your own self-worth or your confidence. But what if it was all orchestrated in the exact way it was supposed to?
Yeah, to get you to acceptance. Today? Acceptance goes a long way. Thich Nhat Hanh, one of my most favorite things that he talks about, the Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh, is that we tend to really choose our suffering, that we actually choose for our suffering by not just allowing or accepting what is. Like the minute we just had acceptance for this is who you are, this is who I am, if we didn't want to change it, we didn't want to, you know, numb it out, change it, make it wrong, that, you know, it actually has a step out of suffering into something, our innate brilliance, and something really wonderful, you know, and allowing for life and accepting for life in that way.
Yeah. And doesn't that feel wonderful?
It does. It's freedom. To me, you know, when we really choose the soul blueprint, you're choosing your freedom.
Yeah.
Know, because the freedom is just you being your innate self, you being yourself, without any problems, any sense of feeling made wrong about something, mm-hmm. you know? And so I was curious about with the having faith part, you know, is there any place that you sort of guide people to, around faith for you, you know, like concept, but how do you access it?
I'll tell you the quickest way I access faith, and it may seem really academic to a lot of people. One of the things I learned that if I'm saying thank you God, thank you universe, thank you Kuan Yin in the background, thank you sky, if I do that at least 70 times a day, sometimes 70 times an hour, if I do that, regardless of what is showing up, right? Mm-hmm. You know, before the show, I was getting coffee and I spilt it on a white tablecloth. And I was like, okay, thank you, God. Slow down is what you're saying.
Right.
But
yeah.
See, this took me a lifetime to do. But yet, if you don't believe in it, you could still do it. Faith for me is not a religious faith, so to speak, although I do believe in spiritual connections. And I honor whatever that is for different people, whatever you believe in. But it really is the strength of that, Adrienne. You see, you so can have,
yeah,
yeah, you can have faith, and then you can have faith, unwavering, unprecedented, unreserved conviction that you believe in the benevolent energy of the universe, and there's nothing and nobody going to give you any amount of money that can take it away.
My goodness.
When you step into that level of faith, you are feeling that in every part of your body. When you are sick and you're in so much pain and you cannot open up a door.
Yeah.
You're holding on to the strength of your conviction that there is a benevolent power, whatever you believe in, wherever it is, that's the faith I'm talking about.
Wow. I felt that. You could have been on a podium. You could have been right up next to the greats with that one. That was awesome. I love that.
But you got to be there. Yeah. And if we look outside of ourselves, if we look at our bank account, if we look at the doctor's diagnosis, you know, if we look at, if you're watching the TV, I'm not saying that you just put your head in the sand. But if you hold that righteous conviction within yourself that you have been gifted with the divine ability to have faith and trust and manifest all the great things in the universe for you and everybody else, it's unwavering. It's unprecedented.
Well, and that sounds like that was the second part of your message, was basically, you know, to stay the course.
Stay the course.
You know what I mean? So basically the faith sounds like, you know, having gratitude gives you that daily sort of devotion and discipline to raise your vibration. And then it sounds as though as you move into the energy of faith, which just for you is like that thing that you're, that pillar you're standing upon, then staying the course sounds like it's the only choice. I mean, it is
took me 20 years.
I claims of victory. It is. Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
From the minute I turned to Linda about the PhD, I never wavered about getting it. I didn't have an undergraduate. Honestly, I didn't even know what that even meant. But I stayed the course. And 22 years later, that became reality.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's beautiful. And that is so beautiful. Thank you for that message. It was so inspiring. And it does come from, it sounds like just a lifetime of your mastery summed up in a podium moment of just preaching that higher faith, higher gratitude, yeah, and staying the course goes a long way there.
You know that.
And you seem very fulfilled. Every time I've ever talked to you, it's just such a delight, so positive, such a delight, you know, no problems, no judgment, no negativity, just pretty high up on the frequency there in your energy field. And you really do feel very fulfilled.
Thank you. I do. I really do. I don't know. I never thought I'd make it past 10 years old, to be honest with you. But I never gave up faith that there was something better.
Yeah.
That there was something out there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the Soul Blueprint, one way I would say about that is that it's like a life even better than you could have imagined possible, to keep living a life even better than you could imagine possible, and kind of turning it over in a sense to that higher power to help bring that in. So we're coming to a close. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you.
Inspiration. And again, you want to reach Transformation Network, you know, tell me the link for that again.
Yeah. Just go to Transformation Talk Radio. They could be, you know, you can listen to the shows, you can watch them. This is live there. It's live on Facebook. Pretty soon we're going to be streaming live ourselves right off of our website, you know, every day.
And it's also on podcasts.
It's on Spreaker, iTunes. It's on 50 other places.
Yeah. Again, because you are living the dream, girl. Woo!
Thank you, Oliver and Jessica. and Linda and Jacob and Jamie. Thank you, Angel, for everything.
Absolutely. So, and if you want any more information on anything that I do, you can go to mywildmagic.com. Again, that's mywildmagic.com. The next thing I have going on starts September 3rd to the 22nd. I'm doing a 21-day virtual Fall Equinox quest. Quests are amazing ways to cause a kind of a quickening in your soul energy. So anything that you are wanting to kind of inspire, regenerate, rejuvenate, take to the next level, that 21-day quest, it takes ourselves, you know, we go through about a 21-day process to create a new identity, a new energy, and this is a great way to do it. So hope you tune in next week as we get into the spirit hacks. So we'll be going over spirit hacks next week and ways to make your life a little easier. So thank you. Thanks for tuning in to Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrian Cobb. Each one of us has a soul purpose on this earth and a higher purpose full of creative expression and unique soul attributes. Make sure to tune in next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com to continue your journey home to your truest self and pursue the path of unconditional self-love. If you would like to learn more about me, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.